name is Patty Burke, and I am an alcoholic. And as a result of the 12 steps, strong sponsorship, and a God that loves me, I haven't found it necessary to take a drink since June 10th, 2002. And for that, I'm grateful. And I want to congratulate Tom on his 30 years. I love him with all my heart and soul. And there's so many people in this room today that have absolutely, without them, I wouldn't be alive today. Because what they did is they pushed me towards God. Because I definitely didn't think God was the answer when I got here, you know. Even though my whole life I've really been always seeking God, you know. I always went to church, you know. And every week I went to church. Until I got into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I did. And and I always knew that there was something out there. And I knew everything always had to be do with God. But I just never knew how to get there, you know. I was empty my whole life. And I was afraid. And I never really wanted to do much. The only thing I ever really wanted to do was to be a mother and to drink. And those were my goals, you know. And I got the opportunity to do both those things, and I failed at both of them. And my first drink was when I was 14 years old. Without a doubt, it was my very first spiritual experience, you know. For the first time in my life, I could breathe easy. I could look you in the eye. I was comfortable in my own skin. And I found something that made me feel so whole and complete that I was absolutely amazed. And then right after that, I immediately became very seductive. My clothes came off and I went into a blackout. And that's how I drank from the very beginning to the very end, you know. And I tell you, alcohol worked really good for a really long time. And I done a lot of stuff when I was out there. None of that makes me an alcoholic. Doesn't matter how many DUIs I had, how many marriages. None of that stuff makes me an alcoholic. It doesn't even make me an alcoholic how hard I drank. What makes me an alcoholic is I'm not like normal people. I have an allergic reaction to alcohol. Once I start drinking, I cannot stop. It sets off a phenomenal craving. And when I stop, all I do is think about it until I pick it up again. So all that stuff, all that outside stuff, doesn't make me an alcoholic. And I'm grateful for alcohol. I wish I would have started drinking in kindergarten, because my life was hard in kindergarten. But it worked. It worked up until this is how my life looked towards the end of my drinking. My life looked like I lived in a house on 400 acres. I owned a restaurant. I had a husband and a really young boyfriend. I had 3 cars. I had the kids and I had all these animals because I was trying to be normal. I had all this stuff on the outside. And it was never enough. And all that stuff was getting in my way. And I had to give all that stuff away, and I did. And I wound up living in a crack hotel all by myself. And I can't go 20 minutes without a drink. Because if I do, I shake violently. I feel like I'm going to hyperventilate if I don't take a drink. My head's attacking me that I don't know what to do but just take a drink. And I weighed 80 pounds. And I'm bruised from head to toe from falling. And I'm yellow. And I have long hair. And it's fallen out and I have bald patches all over my head. And then since I can't go 20 minutes without a drink, I can't even work in the public anymore. And where alcoholism brought me is I wound up doing things that I never dreamed that I would ever do. And every day was so hard for the things that I had to do. And it was a nightmare. And I was tired and I was lonely and I missed my kids. And I couldn't believe where I wound up. And I just couldn't do it one more day. What happened is the alcohol stopped working and my head wouldn't stop, no matter how much I put in my system. And I couldn't sell my soul one more day for a bottle of vodka. And I said a prayer to God. And I know there's a God because God's the only one who asks for help. And I took a bottle of Tylenol PM and I drank a half a gallon of vodka. And I came to on June 10th, 2002 in intensive care. And I was living in Georgia at the time. And my family flew in because they told my family that I wasn't going to make it. And that they probably have to take me back in a body bag. And I stayed in that intensive care. and eventually came back that I had no damage whatsoever. I had no kidney and no liver damage, and from there they shipped me off to a mental hospital, which I loved. I'd like to go back today, and I loved it there. You know, I felt safe. And they kept me there long enough till I could stop shaking, till they can get me on a plane and get me back to Jersey. And my sister had a rehab set up for me in Jersey, the Sunrise House. And my husband's insurance would only cover 7 days. And I get to this rehab, and I'm telling you, I'm scared to death. Scared to death. And I'm still so shaky. And I barely made it out of high school. The only way I made it out of high school was a note from one of my psychiatrists. You know, so I can't even read and I can't even write. And I get to this rehab, and they want me to do workbooks and worksheets. And I can't do it. I can't think. I can't read, and I can't write. And I can't even hold a pencil because I'm still so shaky, you know. And they're going to get me spunded, so they take me up into the office. And they go through my workbooks and my worksheets, and nothing is completed. And they said I wasn't serious about recovery and that I needed to go. And I just started to cry because I had nowhere to go. And I knew if I got back out there, I would have to sell my soul for another bottle of vodka. And I never wanted to go back there. I never wanted to feel that way ever again. I was willing to do whatever they wanted to do with me. And so what they decided to do with me is send me off to York, Pennsylvania. And I don't even know where York, Pennsylvania is, nor do I care. And they're going to put me in this recovery house. And I don't know what a recovery house is. You know, I've had a lot of DUIs, and the state of New Jersey has definitely sent me to AA. And AA didn't work. And not that I ever did anything in AA, you know, but I knew it wasn't going to work. But I get to this rehab, you know, and I'm terrified, this recovery house, and I'm scared to death. And I walk into this recovery house, and there's this girl, right, and she's on the phone. She lives there. And she takes one look at me, and she stops talking on the phone. She gets back right on the phone. She says, "Oh, my God, this one is a real doozy, and I think she has wet brain." I'm a mess. You know, and the rules of the house is you have to get like a sponsor, and you have to get a job, a 90 and 90, you know. And I was like, all right, you know, and I'm going to these meetings. And I don't even know what they were talking about. You know, I have no idea what they were talking about. And I'm just thinking, oh, well, you have wet brain. Of course you don't know what they were talking about. And I feel so different. I feel so different, you know. And another rule of the house was that you weren't allowed to get a sponsor from Baltimore. Because these people from Baltimore were coming into York, Pennsylvania with the big book. And I don't know. I don't know anything. And I'm like, all right, I'm not going to go near those people in Baltimore. You know what I mean? And so I get this sponsor, right? And actually my friend, Gangster picked out a sponsor for me, right? And I start working with this woman, right? And I tell you, and I am nuts. I am nuts. You know, I haven't drank, and I don't know how long. And my head is so bad that I start thinking, I'm probably not even an alcoholic. I'm probably just mental. You know what I mean? My head's attacking me. And I call her up, and she would be like, "You're crazy." You know what I mean? And then one time I was standing in the 15-item or less line, and the guy questioned me on my items. And I thought I was going to drink over it. I was a complete disaster. And she really did. She passed on what was passed on her. And she started taking me through the steps. And I don't know what steps she took me through, but she was taking me through some type of steps, right? And I was doing a four-step with this woman, right? And she said that when I got to my sex inventory that I had to write down everybody I slept with. Can you imagine? I live in I don't know how many states. And blackout drinker or naked, you sleep with a lot of people. And so I'm a mess, you know, and I'm trying to figure out all these people I slept with, you know, and I get a job and I'm working at the, I finally get hired, and I'm working at this Denny's, you know, and nobody in Denny's knows that I'm an alcoholic and that I'm in recovery and that I live in a recovery house because I'm very embarrassed to be an alcoholic, you know, and so this guy walks into Denny's one day, and I'm standing at the hostess station with one of the waitresses, and this guy walks in, and he's from Jersey. And I said to the waitress, "Oh, my God, I slept with him, and I didn't put him on my list." And she's like, "You keep a list?" And I was, like, horrified, right? And so I get done with all the lists I have to write, you know. And I do a fifth step with this woman. And what she tells me when I did a fifth step with her, she told me that that I've harmed nobody. The only person that I've harmed was myself. And the reason I was the way I was is because I didn't bond with my mother. And somehow I knew that that wasn't right, because the fact of the matter is I didn't bond with my mother, and I didn't bond with you, and I didn't bond with anybody, you know? And I'm a mess, you know? And I'm throwing myself on that kitchen floor every night, and I'm crying, and I want a drink. And I don't understand why my head is so bad, and it's getting worse by the day. And she calls me up one day, and she said, Patty, you know what? She said, we're really not relating. You're going to have to get a new sponsor. And I immediately thought, oh, my God, she found out about the wet brain that I have. You know what I mean? And the fact of the matter is that we were different. She was a problem drinker. She stopped drinking, and she got better. I stopped drinking, and I didn't get better. In the meantime, I'm going to these different meetings, you know, and I start hearing things in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I hear people start talking about God. And I hear people talk about the hole in the soul, and that's how I felt my whole life, like I had a hole in my soul, and I could just never put words to it. And I started going to these different meetings, and there was this woman there, and she was from Maryland, right? And she absolutely glowed. And she talked about how she felt like the scum of the earth her whole life, and she didn't feel that way today. And she certainly didn't look that way. And so I went up and asked her if she'd be my sponsor, because I had no idea that Baltimore was in Maryland. Swear to God. No idea. I had what brain, you know? So I figured I was safe with her, you know what I mean? I didn't want those people from Baltimore, you know? And so I went up and I asked her if she'd be my sponsor. And you know, and I'm not trying to talk bad about that woman who first tried taking me through the steps. I'm really not. But I do believe that there's not everybody in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous is an alcoholic, you know? And thank God that woman did tell me to go get another sponsor, because I probably would have died, you know? And since then, I have never seen her back in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know? And so I asked this woman, right, from Maryland, not Baltimore, Maryland, to be my sponsor. And she asked me if I was willing to go to any lengths. And I said, absolutely, I went to any lengths to drink. And so she started taking me through the steps, and I tell you, this woman did not care one thing about my feelings, but she absolutely cared about my life. And what this woman did is she laid down her life for me, and she took me through the 12 steps. And she never shut up. She talked before the meeting, she talked after the meeting. I don't even know what she's talking about half the time. But I know one thing, I could absolutely feel her. I could absolutely feel her, you know. And she told me I was going to get up every morning, I was going to do the third step prayer, and I was going to try to help as many people as I could that day. And that's what I started to do. I went to work. I was so helpful. They were giving me awards. I go back to that recovery house, and I was the mother of the recovery house. And I go off to the meetings, and I stick my hand out to even someone by one day less than me. And I get back to that recovery house, and I throw myself on that kitchen floor, and I would cry because I wanted to drink so bad. And I didn't understand, if I'm doing everything that she's telling me to do, well, how come I'm not getting better? And how come I can't even see my kids? And how come I can't even just hug them just for 5 minutes? And I tell you, and I do everything she tells me to do, because I so do not want her to find out about the wet brain that I have, you know? Because I really believe I did. I didn't even know what it was, you know? But I knew I had it, you know? And so I was telling her one day, I said that I miss my kids. And I don't understand how come I can't see my kids. And how come I can't hug them? And she told me, she said, you know what, Patty? You don't have to physically hug your kids. God can hug them for you. And I want you to go home, and I want you to pray about that. And that's what I did. I went home, and I prayed about it. And that night, I had a dream, because I couldn't even sleep. Every time I fell asleep, I'd have drunk dream after drunk dream, you know. And I finally fell asleep that night, and I had a dream that I walked into a room, and all three of my children were standing there. And I could feel my kids hug me. And then 2 days later, somehow, my middle daughter got my phone number, and she called me. And I told her about my dream, and she said, oh, my God, Mom, I had the same dream. So if God can bring me and my children together in our dreams, God could do anything. And I tell you, that obsession was lifted, and I stopped having those dreams. And I did a fourth and fifth step with this woman. And I tell you, I know that I am the root of all my problems. I know this. I don't have to be told how self-centered I was, because I know I am. And thank God this woman didn't point all that stuff out to me, because she knew not to. But what she told me She told me that the things that I did when I was out there doesn't make me who I am. She said I needed to do everything I did when I was out there and drink everything I did. So when I got to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I never had to go back out. And she told me that all those dirty, disgusting things that I thought I did when I was out there were going to be my biggest gifts to help other women. And she's absolutely right. And I do not regret my past. You know, and she also told me, too, when I first met with her, she told me that that everything in this world was temporary. Everything was going to come and go, that the only thing that's everlasting was God. And she told me, I must have a strong foundation with God. She told me, I must have a love affair with God. You know, and she told me I need to chase my recovery like I chase my drinking. And I do. You know, I try to suit up and show up every day for Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. And at this time, the state of Georgia's looking for me. Because I kind of totaled a car off the car lot that the mayor owned in Georgia at like 8 o'clock in the morning. And so they were looking for me because I left town. And she said that I needed to start doing some of these amends because it looked like I was going to go to jail for a little while, you know. And so she said we're going to start with the closest state. So she sent me back to Jersey. And what she did, she got in touch with Jim Bach. And she called Jim Bach up and asked him if he could help me do my amends in Jersey. And I came down here for a week with Jim Bach. And he took me around to do my amends. And I don't really remember this, but I guess like my father was like kind of like last on my list for my amends in Jersey. And I tell you, I love my father. My father is fabulous. He was drunk all the time. He was nasty and sarcastic, and I loved him. And I wanted to be just like him. And so Jim said that my first amends was going to be with my father. And I tried to get in touch with my brothers and my sister that morning, and I can't find my father. And finally I get in touch with my brother, and he said that my father was in the hospital and that he had a stroke that morning, and he was in critical condition and he was paralyzed and that he couldn't talk. And so I called Vicky, and Vicky said I still had to go make the amends. and that I had to ask everybody to leave the room, and that I was to tell my father that I was wrong, not to tell him that I was sorry. She said, you've been sorry your whole life. And so that's what I did. And my father said to me, he said, you know, I mean, no, my father couldn't talk, but my father started to cry. And then I said to my father, you know, Dad, there's a good chance I'll never be that person ever again if I continue doing the things that I'm doing. And my father did manage to say the words, I love you, and he died about a week later. And I did go back to Georgia, and I went in front of that judge. And Tom, my grand sponsor, said to me, he said, you know what, Patty? That God's in charge. Not those lawyers, not the prosecutor, not the judge. None of those people are in charge. That God's in charge. And I knew at this point that God was in charge. And I thought I was supposed to go to jail. That's what I was going to do. You know, and I showed up in front of this judge whose daughter was killed a year earlier by a drunk driver. And what she gave me is 24 hours in jail. You know, and I guess God thought it was best that I carry this message outside jail than inside jail. But the 24 hours that I was in jail, I had a fabulous time. And because jail really doesn't bother me. I kind of like jail, you know. You don't have to really worry about what you're going to do. They just tell you, you know. And so I carried this message in jail for those 24 hours, you know. And I got back out of jail, and I've been through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I tell you, and I have had a spiritual awakening, and I wanted to save the world, because I found something that worked better than any alcohol has ever done, because now I feel whole and complete, like I did when I was drinking, except I don't come out of a blackout naked somewhere, you know, and I want everybody to experience this. And I think if you go through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and you have a spiritual awakening, you want to pass this on. And so that's what I did. I tried saving the world. And I was picking homeless people up. People were shipping me homeless people. I got this apartment in New York, and it was like an old storefront, so it had really high ceilings. And Jim Bach bought me some lumber, and we were going to build what is it called? We were going to build Loss, right? And I was going to start stacking these drunks. Right, because people were going to get sober. You know, I had to do like community service at this woman's homeless shelter. Had these women on their knees in the parking lot doing a third step prayer because they're getting sober. Half of them probably weren't even alcoholic. You know, I was trying to take people to work through the 12 steps who weren't even alcoholic. I'm like, you probably need it. You know, I was, like, out of my freaking mind, you know? I had this, like, little apartment. And every given time, there's probably, like, 12 people living there, right? And because I was going to save them. And nobody stayed sober. They robbed me completely blind. I barely had anything to begin with. They stole everything I owned. They stole my checks. And then after they stole my checks, they stole all my mail, so I wouldn't even know they were bouncing my checks, you know what I mean? And I had so much fun. I really did. I really learned what doesn't work and how to sponsor people. I absolutely did, you know? And I tell you what Alcoholics Anonymous has done for me. It's given me a whole brand new life, not a patched up old life, you know? And I am grateful for my teachers that I've had in Alcoholics Anonymous. I really am. You know, not every day has been fabulous, you know. I have these three little girls, right? Well, one's like 25, so she's not really little. And every year my little girls would come to spend the summers with me in York, Pennsylvania. And my house was always filled with drunks, you know, and they loved it. I mean, how can you not love Alcoholics? It's the best show on earth, you know what I mean? And so every year they would come and they would see all these women in and out of my house. And they'd see me take people through the 12 steps. They see women come into my home absolutely broken. And they go through the 12 steps and they see these people get brand new lives. And they loved it, you know. I don't think they loved that their mom was so active, you know. But she really didn't get to spend as much time with them as she really should have, you know. And they go back to Florida and they come back each year. And each year it was getting harder and harder for me to send my little girls back. And one year they came up for the summer. And their father's now getting sober in Florida. And they go back to Florida to start school. And they ask their father, can we go to a meeting with you? And he said, yeah, I guess you go to meetings all the time with your mom. So they go to a meeting with their father. And at the end of the meeting, they say to him, Dad, they're doing it wrong. That is not how they do it in York, Pennsylvania. And what step are you on? Because it's a 12-step program, you're supposed to be doing the 12 steps. And their father is not doing the 12 steps. So they fire the sponsor and they get him a new sponsor. They know Alcoholics Anonymous works. They've seen their mother fall down drunk. They know it works. And so for the last 3 years, I've had the opportunity to give my second ex-husband his medallion every year. And so, you know, I'm Miss AA, you know what I mean? I'm Miss AA, and I'm sponsoring the world, and I'm in York, Pennsylvania, and I'm sponsoring so many people that the recovery houses are not allowing anybody to be sponsored by Patty Burke anymore because I am Miss Fabulous, Miss AA, you know, and I am running myself absolutely ragged, and I'm dying on the inside. And I start thinking, what I need to do is to really run. I need to run the hell out of York, Pennsylvania. I need to go to Florida and to be a full-time mom because I am so fabulous, you know what I mean? And so that's what I do. I pack up and I run to Florida. And I'm in Florida and my ex-husband is not impressed by me. He does not think I'm fabulous and Miss AA. And he does not really want me around my children. Because I kind of led him to believe that me and him were going to get back together. So I made decisions based on self that later put me in the position to be harmed, right? And now I'm in Florida, right? And everything I know and love is gone. And I worked for my grand sponsor, went my grand sponsor every single day for 6.5 years. And now I'm in Florida, and everybody's gone. And I'm not even realizing, because I'm Miss AA, right? I'm not even realizing how much dependency I'm putting on human powers because I'm always talking about God, 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 because I'm so God-dependent. And in the meanwhile, I'm really not. I'm human-dependent. And now here I am in Florida, right? And I know what to do, you know? And what I'm doing is I'm running around Florida and I'm sponsoring 1 million people again because I'm Miss AA and I am fabulous, you know, and I'm speaking in conferences all over, you know? And I'm absolutely dying on the inside because everybody that I know and love is gone. And I didn't even realize that I didn't have a dependency on God. I had a dependency on human powers. And now I have no other choice but to seek God because I'm alone. and I'm walking the speech and I'm praying and I'm meditating, because I don't really do that. I tell you to do it, but I'm not really doing it, you know what I mean? And my head's attacking me like a newcomer. And I'm so effective sponsoring new people because I'm right where you are, you know what I mean? Because my head is right where they are. And I'm so effective sponsoring people. And I'm just walking the speech and I'm praying and I'm meditating like I never had before. I'm seeking God as much as I did when I first got sober, you know? And my head starts quieting, you know? And the only time that I really am at peace is when I'm working one-on-one with the newcomer. So when it talks about that when all else fails, working with a newcomer is absolutely true. I know it's my experience, right? So my head starts quieting, right? And I start feeling at peace again. I start feeling whole again, like I did when I first got sober, when I first went through those 12 steps, right? And then, of course, the ego starts attacking again, right? And now it's telling me, what I need is a new boyfriend. I need a new AA boyfriend. A powerful, manly man, Alcoholics Anonymous, powerful speaker. That's what I need, right? So now I'm praying, right? Because now I'm just still telling God what to do, right? So now I'm praying for this. So now I'm praying for this powerful AA boyfriend, right? And the week before I moved to Florida, this guy from Cleveland, Ohio moved there. And he's this big, burly guy, right? And he is so awesome, right? And so he calls me up and he says, Patty, you want to go for a motorcycle ride? I'm thinking, oh, my God, how much does God love me? You know what I mean? And so, because he loves me, because I'm his favorite, right? So this big, burly guy, right, on a Harley, comes and picks me up, right? And I'm thinking, oh, my God, God really does love me, you know? And we're riding, and it's like nighttime, and we're riding all over these bridges with the palm trees and the moon. You know, my hair is blowing in the wind, and I'm holding on to this big, burly guy, you know? And we get down to the beach, and he says to me, do you want to get pizza? No, pizza's my favorite food, right? I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is definitely a sign from God, you know what I mean? And so we get down to the pizza place, and we get in the pizza place, and he's, like, holding my hands, and he's looking me in the eyes, like, so lovingly, like, it's so romantic, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is fabulous. And then he says to me, he says, Patty, I've been watching you in Alcoholics Anonymous, and you are so busy in Alcoholics Anonymous, you're absolutely dying. So God absolutely does answer my prayers. He didn't send him there to be my boyfriend. He sent him there to 12-step me. And he broke apart the third step and showed me how I was still playing God, that I'm not in charge of that ex-boyfriend, and I'm not in charge of that ex-husband or those kids, and I'm not in charge of that anybody, that God's in charge. And how I've been making decisions based on self that later put me in the position to be harmed. And, you know, and how I step on the toes of my fellows and they retaliate just like I did with that ex-husband. I don't know how many times I went and made amends to him and then never acted on it, you know? And he was absolutely right. You know, and so what I had to do was I had to start really doing those nightly inventories, really doing the 10th step when things crop up, not just thinking it's okay, I'll take care of it later, you know what I mean? Take care of it right now. And once again, my life in Alcoholics Anonymous has changed. Not only do I talk about the 12 steps, I live the 12 steps today. And I tell you, if it wasn't for the people that God put in my path, that walked before me, who showed me how to do this, I wouldn't be sober today. Because I tell you, I did have a plan when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I really did. I tore through everything in my life. When I got here, it was absolutely empty on the inside and empty on the outside. But I had one more plan left. When I started working with my real alcoholic sponsor, I said, you know what, if this doesn't work in 3 months, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start drinking. I'm going to prostitute myself across the United States at these truck stops in hopes one of these truck drivers kill me because I see it on TV. And that was my plan. And eight years later, Alcoholics Anonymous does work. It does. I know it does. Because before I got here, I couldn't go 20 minutes without a drink. And not every day in Alcoholics Anonymous was fabulous for me. But always, the answer was God. And if Tom and Vicky and Steve and Jim and all these people before me didn't constantly push me to God, I wouldn't be here. Because when all those people were gone, and I'm in Florida by myself, God was already there. God always shows up right on time, even when I don't know he's there. And I tell you, and I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I do. And I will be forever grateful for my grand sponsor and my sponsor, Vicky, and Steve, and all the other people who God has put in my life. And I want to thank Jim Bach for putting on this fabulous event for Tom Flynn and for Alcoholics Anonymous, because Alcoholics Anonymous works. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty. That was awesome. Just want to let you know there's a lot of disappointed truckers.